This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, Anna Brown from the Human Rights Law Centre, you heard that, I'm sure. Welcome again, and nice to speak to you. I'm going to let you and Michael have a discussion. I'm sure you want to make a couple of points first, Anna, about the challenge in the High Court and why that challenge is taking place. I'll let you start off with that so our listeners know what it's about.
Oh, sure. Well, I think people will have heard, obviously, that we've filed a legal action against the government, and ours is on behalf of Australian Marriage Equality and Senate Janet Rice, and we're challenging the constitutional validity of the postal plebiscite. Obviously, we can't predetermine or preempt what the High Court will find, but we are bringing the case because we think there's strong grounds to argue that the government is embarking upon this process without the appropriate authorisation of the expenditure. And obviously, it's a deeply problematic process, not just politically, but we know from a procedural and point of view that there's a number of problems already been highlighted. We don't have the same sorts of safeguards that you would have in a federal election. The LGBTR community is really scrambling to catch up with and now prepare for the eventuality of this process that is also destined to exclude some really disadvantaged sectors of voters, such as Indigenous voters, and the results potentially skewed towards older demographics and disenfranchised younger people who tend not to be enrolled, not to have their details updated, and all because the Liberal Party room can't actually get along and decide to have not vote in favour of marriage equality, but just have a vote on this issue, having had their plebiscite legislation voted down last year. So it's obviously a deeply frustrating time for the community. So we thought it was extremely important that the validity or otherwise of this process is confirmed as soon as possible before the funds are expended and before we embark upon what is a pretty sort of absurd process to be finding ourselves in.
Mm. And it's Michael Kroger here. Who is the barrister who signed the statement of claim in this action?
Our barrister is Kate Richardson SC, who's a highly regarded silk in Sydney. It's fantastic, and obviously donating her time on a pro bono basis. We've got a team of four counsel, and obviously Ron Merkel is the barrister in Melbourne that's assisting, along with a team of others, the other litigants, Rodney Croom, Shelley Argent and Felicity Marlowe.
And if you didn't win and costs are awarded against the plaintiff, who pays them?
Well, the good news is the community is rallying behind this because they obviously see the deep public importance of this issue. The costs obviously pale in significance to $122 million worth of expenditure, but they we're fundraising at the moment to cover those costs in the event that the litigants are unsuccessful.
Mac has produced his bank card in case you need $5. So how much are you proposing to raise? How much are you trying to raise?
We're looking, you know, we're trying to raise about $100,000 for that. If people are interested in supporting, obviously, the marriage equality campaign and preparing for the plebiscite or the legal action itself, we've got, you know, can hop online at the Human Rights Law Centre and support that taking place. It's been really fantastic to see the response from the community getting behind not only the legal challenge, but obviously how quickly everyone's galvanising and getting out there to their friends and networks around enrolling to vote. As well as my role at the Human Rights Law Centre, I'm co-chair of the Equality Campaign, and we've had, stakeholder and community meetings all week, and there is so much going on, and we're being flooded with offers of support and assistance, and it's just, you know, what is really inspiring and positive about this is the response from our community, how quickly we can actually respond when things are against us.
Mm. Why isn't it... Sorry, Mac.
No. Go, Michael.
I was just wondering that, you know, I can understand the argument against the plebiscite, but I think it's fair to say that most people who've looked at what the government's doing, Anna, have come to the view that the decision of the government to pursue a postal vote through the ABS is legal and is constitutional, and that if it was being done through the plebiscite, you may have had some grounds, but your action is considered by many people in the law, in and around the legal profession, to be on... and it's a matter, obviously, for the High Court, but let me just say, not as strong a grounds as you might have had under the previous incarnation of the government's policy. Wouldn't it be better to have used all of those funds to promote the Yes campaign rather than run, a complex argument through the High Court?
Well, I obviously completely disagree.
I assumed you would.
Legal advice from, obviously, not one, but two eminent senior counsel. And on the contrary, Michael, all I've seen from commentary is concern expressed by Professor George Williams and other constitutional experts about the flawed nature and the problematic nature of having this extraordinary process.
Yeah, but we can always assume what George's view would be. I mean,
these
experts, and let's just assume, Anna, that every QC or SC is eminent, so you don't need to tell us that, and that every constitutional lawyer is an expert. So let's proceed from there.
Yeah, obviously I've been deeply buried in preparing for this thing, but the commentary that I've read has been quite the opposite, which is it's all been about the concern that the ABS doesn't have the power to do this. So I think whatever the matter is, I think it's absolutely vital that we have this clarified sooner rather than later, and the High Court is responding with a great sense of haste. They called the parties in literally within 24 hours after the proceedings have been filed. They're treating this with the utmost seriousness and saying they've obviously listed it for hearing very quickly, recognising the enormous public importance in having these matters clarified before the postal ballots are sent out on the 12th of September. So the High Court is treating this very seriously. We've got senior counsel that obviously are pursuing this on behalf of a number of concerned advocates and parliamentarians. And I think it's absolutely vital that, you know, the challenge proceeds and it proceeds quickly, because we don't want to go down what is already a politically illegitimate and questionable process, only to find that, you know, throughout or afterwards, after we get the result, that it's then found to be invalid. I think it's absolutely vital that we have that clarified now.
Well, obviously, you'd expect me to say, I think your description of it being politically illegitimate is absurd, given that the government won an election based on having a plebiscite. We're not having a plebiscite, we're having something less than that for all the reasons we know. But to say, Anna, quite frankly, that there's something kind of illegitimacy about this when the public re-elected the Turnbull government in the full knowledge that their policy was a plebiscite is a bit of a gross overstatement, if you don't mind me saying.
Now, Michael.
The government obviously, in good faith, prosecuted its election commitment. It put forward legislation to the parliament. That legislation was voted down. And in my mind, that election commitment was exhausted. And we're now looking at sort of policy on the run, attempts to go behind the back of the elected parliament to devise what is, you know, a backup plan to implement an election commitment. Now, that the government is now saying is not a plebiscite, it's a survey. So you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say we're implementing an election commitment, but we're going to use an appropriation that is only able to be used in unforeseen and urgent circumstances. So if you put aside money in the budget for a plebiscite, if you say that you're fulfilling an election commitment, I don't know how the finance minister can then argue in court that his expenditure is valid because of the urgent and unforeseen nature. So,
Anna, you'll find out very shortly.
Yeah. And of course,
I think we all look forward to that.
We are going to go, Anna. Thank you for this. I just want to make one point on this.
Yes, Macca.
Unforeseen. The government started looking at this, as we all know, in March, a postal option. It was not unforeseen. And I understand why this is happening. We're all going to have a different view. I do thank Anna, you know, for her advocacy and her views, just as I thank you, Michael. It's important for our community to understand what this is about. That's why I wanted to get you in, Anna. Sorry, we have run out of time.
No, thanks for having me on. And obviously, at the end of the day, this is about fairness and respect and about LGBTI people being able to, you know, achieve a simple change in the law to allow them to marry the person they love. So that's what it comes down to, and I think that's what everyone's finding so frustrating. When there's a pathway available now to resolve this issue, to have a free vote, when we've got majority support in the parliament, majority support in the community, spending all this money and all of this political and emotional energy on this stuff is just deeply frustrating.
I know. Thanks again, Anna.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.